Good morning. How are we doing? Well, that was kind of okay. Good morning. How are we doing? Thank you. Very good. Very good. Well, it's good to see you this morning. This week is Thanksgiving, as you are well aware of. It's one of the major holidays here in the United States, and out of all of the holidays, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but out of all the holidays, this is one, Thanksgiving, where families and extended families all kind of get together to give thanks. The history of Thanksgiving in our country is interesting. It ties to the theme this morning of giving testimony to God's goodness. This first Thanksgiving was celebrated back in 1621. 2 years later, 1623, the governor of Massachusetts, William Bradford, made the following proclamation. He said this. He said, "Insomuch as the great Father has given us a year, an abundant harvest, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and insomuch as He has spared us from pestilence and disease, and He has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and your little ones do gather in the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, there to listen to your pastor and to render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for His blessings." That's what he said. It was 166 years later in 1789 that George Washington made his official Thanksgiving proclamation. He said this: "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly to implore His protection and favor, whereas both the House of Congress has requested me to recommend to the people of the United States the day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of the Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend next Thursday to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of the great and the glorious being who is the beneficent author of all that the good that was, that is, and that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of this country." Then Thomas Jefferson, the third president, wasn't a big fan of Thanksgiving. And so he didn't make any proclamations about it. It wasn't until 1863 President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the fourth Thursday of November as the official National Thanksgiving Day. It was ratified by Congress in 1941. All that to say that Thanksgiving isn't just a time of feeling thankful. It is a time of giving thanks. It is a time for verbalizing our thanks to God. In our text this morning, in Psalm 35:18, David talks about thanking God publicly in the great assembly. The word that's translated, or "thank you," or "I will give you thanks" in some other translations, means to confess or to praise as you give thanks. It's a word that means to publicly proclaim, to declare God's character and His works in thanksgiving and in praise. It is a confession or declaration of who God is and what He does. And I think it's important for us to remember that the praise of God in the Old Testament was public. Whether it was done by nations of 2 Samuel 22 or among God's people, we read 1 Chronicles 23 that the Levites stood in the morning and in the evening giving praise and thanksgiving to God. So why is it important to give praise to God publicly? Well, it's certainly appropriate. Well, we give out awards publicly all the time, right? All the award shows that you watch, the Olympics. We give a plaque to somebody's service, right? Public acknowledgement is just an important part of appreciation expressed. So some things just need to be spoken. They need to be verbalized. Ever hear about the wife who asked her husband why he doesn't tell her that he loves her? The husband responded, "I told you I loved you on our wedding day. If it ever changes, I'll let you know." Right? That's a horrible comment, by the way. Right? It doesn't fly in marriage. And it didn't fly with Thanksgiving either. But putting our thanks into words breathes life into our appreciation. It makes the appreciation real. It authenticates what we feel. So it is important to feel thankful, but also to show appreciation, to speak words of praise, to give testimony of God in our lives. But that's what I want to talk to you about today, the importance of giving testimony of God's goodness in your life. And so I think true thanksgiving is more than just a thankful heart. It involves giving testimony of thanks to God. And we're going to look at three aspects of your public testimony. If you have your note sheets, you can take them out and follow along with me. The presence of your testimony is number one. So before you can give a testimony, you have to have a testimony. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So our forefathers and pilgrims understood this as they recognized this truth, right? Early proclamations of thanksgiving always gave glory to God as the giver of good gifts. David also recognizes that in our text this morning in Psalms 35:18. It's actually giving thanks in advance. And throughout the psalm, David speaks of a situation where he's being treated unfairly. His enemies are after him and they want to kill him and they return evil for good. And these guys are out to get him, and David in turn prays for them when they're sick. And he's doing all of this as his enemies gather in celebration as he was in crisis, the text says. And through it all, David expects God to deliver him and says these words of thanksgiving. Psalms 35:18, I will thank you in the great congregation, and in the mighty throng I will praise you. And what we learn from this verse is that faith recognizes God as the giver of all good gifts. Even when the circumstance seems to indicate something else. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a testimony? Has God changed your life through His Son, Jesus? Is God working in your life today? Can you praise God in the midst of trials? I think it's safe to say in a congregation of this size that there are some of us that are here today and we're definitely going through some trials this morning. And whether your trial is sickness or unemployment or depression or heartache or whatever it might be, are you still able to thank God in the midst of your circumstances? Job in the Old Testament spoke words of faith when he said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, I will hope in him. No matter what, Job will trust in the Lord. And then how about the good things in your life? How about your health? How about your family? How about your friendships? How about how God just provides for you? Do we recognize that all of this comes from God's kind and caring hand? And then what about your salvation? Have you received the greatest gift of all, God's free gift of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus, His Son? If so, you have a testimony. Anyone who has experienced God's blessing in their life through Christ has a true knowledge of God and what He's done for them through Jesus will have a thankful heart. Colossians 2:7 says, as believers, we should be rooted and built up in Him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in what? In thanksgiving. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34, you brood of vipers. How can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the point here is that our words reveal our heart. If they had good treasure in their hearts, these religious leaders would show itself in good things. So yes, as a believer in Christ, you should have a heart full of thankfulness. But again, thanksgiving is more than just a thankful heart, right? It means giving a public testimony to God for His goodness. It means putting thankfulness in your heart into words. Our heart should be overflowing with thankfulness, and thankfulness overflows into what we say about God. So that's the first aspect of your testimony. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a testimony. Secondly, we'll look at the purpose of your testimony. It's important to remember what we mean by testimony here. Sometimes the word testimony and the meaning of that is narrow in the sense of sharing how you came to faith in Christ, which is super important to share that with people for sure. This morning I'll be using the word in a little bit of a wider context. Of giving public thanks to God for anything that He has done for you. And so why do this? Well, I think there are three purposes for this, right? The first one being your testimony affirms the truth about yourself. Let me illustrate by comparing two scriptures. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And then Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." And so the question is, which one is it? If you believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, or is it confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Like, which one is right, right? They both are. The person who truly believes in their heart will confess with their mouth. And here's my point. When you share your faith with others, it affirms the truth about God in your life. I remember when I was a youth pastor in Everett, and one of our elders came up to me one Sunday, and he said, let's go talk to people about Jesus. Let's go on this little evangelism trip. And I said, well, what's the plan? And he said, let's go to a laundromat. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, let's go to a laundromat. I'm like, all right. He goes, here's the thing. People go to a laundromat, they wash the clothes, they put them in the dryer. Then they have nothing to do. This was his theory. They have nothing to do while they wait for these clothes to dry. That's when we're going to talk to them about Jesus. I'm like, all right, let's go. And so we go, and then we had some really good conversations about Jesus with people. But more than that, I think it strengthened my faith. I came away from the experience seeing God work in ways up to that point in my walk with God that I hadn't seen before. It affirmed some truths about God for me. The second thing it does is your testimony encourages others. And we talked about trials a little bit earlier, and some things... Sometimes things are go well, and sometimes they don't. But we always need to hear how God is working in other people's lives. In fact, that's why I think God allows trials in your life sometimes. 2 Corinthians 1:4, I'm going to start in verse 3, which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with a comfort from which we ourselves are comforted by God." So sometimes we go through some hard stuff so you can encourage other people who are going through some hard stuff. And when we come alongside of others, I think we have to be able to discern the path that God is allowing somebody to go down. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And I think we need to be careful sometimes that when we share what God has done in our lives, that we don't accidentally discourage someone and how God is dealing with them, because God deals with us all differently. But I do think when we give testimony of what God has done in our lives, it does bring joy and encouragement to others. Paul said in Romans 1:8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all of the world." And then John wrote this in 3 John 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." So the second purpose of your testimony is to encourage others. The third one, your testimony brings glory to God. This is the theme of our message this morning, right? Bringing glory to God through your testimony. Psalms 35:18, again, "I will thank you in the great congregation, in the mighty throng, I will praise you." Our greatest desire in life should be to bring glory to God. And what better way to do that than to give Him public praise and thanksgiving for what He has done. And I get it, and sometimes we get afraid and we get shy, and especially when it's time to kind of speak up. Let me illustrate it this way. Imagine a person who has been given a beautiful, brilliant lamp. And the lamp's just not any light source. It has a special radiant glow that illuminates everything that it touches. Person with the lamp knows that the light is coming from a powerful source. They've personally seen it in their own life. However, they get afraid. They worry that if they place the lamp on its stand for all to see, that maybe people will judge them. Some might mock the lamp's design. Maybe they'll call it old-fashioned or say the light's too bright. People will misunderstand, maybe. Maybe they'll think that they're trying to seek attention for themselves. Or maybe they get afraid and they're like, the light might attract unwanted attention. Maybe it's going to bring some questionable or some uncomfortable questions or conversations. And so out of fear, the person covers up the lamp with a basket, known as a bushel in the biblical text. And the light is still there, but it's trapped, it's muted. And it no longer fulfills its purpose of illuminating the house. And you know where the illustration comes from, right? It's Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. And the point is that you are the light of the world. Jesus gives the Christian both a great responsibility when he says, we are the light of the world. And the purpose is to let our light so shine to others that it will glorify God. Great way to combine all of these three things we just talked about. How your testimony affirms the truth to yourself and about God, and how it encourages others and it brings glory to God. It's to sing praises to God in church. We see this both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's people singing to Him. It's because it's a great verbal proclamation of God's goodness. And when we sing praises to Him, we affirm those truths for ourselves. We encourage others in that. I don't know if you notice, but I stand over there most of the time. And a lot of times I just look at you guys. I just want to see you guys praise God. It's one of my favorite things to do. Just to watch you guys give praise to the Lord. All of that's just a part of our public testimony for God. And so we've talked about His presence and His purpose, and the third one is the power of your testimony. Back to Psalms 35:18, David speaks of giving thanks in the great assembly. The word assembly there is a word for church in the New Testament. David's talking about testifying to God's goodness in front of God's people. David goes on to say, I'll praise you in front of the throngs of people. Simply means a lot of people, probably too many to count. There's probably a dual reference here, not only to the assembly of God's people, but to all people as well, to both believers and unbelievers. And there are other scriptures that talk about God's praises to others. For example, Psalms 105 Verses 1 through 3 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deed among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell all of His wondrous works. Glory is His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." Psalms 105 is talking about making known among the nations what God has done. And not only should we praise the Lord in church, we should praise Him outside of the church with other people as well. There's power in your testimony, especially when you share how God has saved you through Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, and to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And that word gospel, you know, is a verb meaning to preach or to proclaim good news. And then over in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, Paul shares how the Thessalonians, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." And why did they do that? Because look at 2 Thessalonians 1:10, "When He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed." That's why Paul later tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." All that to say that here is my encouragement to you this morning. Let us never be afraid to testify for God at work, at school, people that you come in contact with, your neighborhood, your friends. If God has done something good in your life, be bold. Speak up about it. Give God the credit for His goodness. And it'll draw people. They'll want to know more about Christ and the gospel. And not all will respond, but some will. And they'll want to hear about the amazing thing that God does and how He answers prayer in your life. They'll want to learn more about your faith in Him. There's great power in your testimony. It takes faith to speak up. And I believe God will bless that faith every time. I don't know what you guys do around your Thanksgiving table, but for us, we get around the table and we just take some time before we eat to give thanks to God for His blessing during the year. And so we go around the table and everybody says what they're thankful for, right? Pretty normal thing to do, I hope. And all the usual things are said, right? We're thankful for Jesus, for sure. We're thankful for our family. And I'm thankful for God's provision for us and all of the good. And then the grandkids get up and they say what they say, right? Which is always kind of fun, right? Because it's out there and crazy. I was trying to find a Thanksgiving testimony to share with you. And so I, you know, do what I do. I browse the internet trying to find something. I think I found a fairly good one. There was a guy that was at church on Thanksgiving, and they were asking for people to share what they were thankful for. And so this guy stands up and he says, "I'm thankful that I'm not a turkey." Right? And everybody laughed, just like you did. Right? They all laughed. But then he goes on to say this. He goes on to say, "Let me tell you my definition of a turkey. A turkey is someone who has the opportunity to publicly give thanks to God and fails to do so." And then he keeps going. And he says, "Many times in my life, I've been a turkey. I had the opportunity to share what God has done for me, but I didn't speak up. And so today, I'm thankful that I'm not a turkey, because today I'm speaking up," he said. And then he said this to the congregation. He said, "Now I want to give everyone here the opportunity not to be a turkey. Will you repeat the following after me?" And he says this. He says, "Repeat, thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for me." And then he said this to the congregation. He said, "Now you can thank God that you're not a turkey too." And he sat down. Can I challenge you today? When you're sitting around your Thanksgiving table this year, take the time not to be a turkey. Or maybe you're going to have a Thanksgiving lunch at work. Or maybe you might find yourself in another public situation where you can be bold and you can speak up and just tell of the goodness of God. Would you look for opportunities to give testimony to how great our God is? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. God, we thank you for your unchanging goodness. We thank you for your strength and the peace you provide, especially during hard times. God, we're thankful and grateful for the countless blessings, both physical and spiritual. We praise your great name, your power, your consistent presence, for the gifts of family and church family, fellowship, all of that we enjoy. Thank you, God. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen.